children of all ages. After a brief hiatus, I am back with another episode of the 205 Livecast here at the WWPN. If you don't recognize me, I am your host, Adam Drywalbus. I'm going to be bringing you the fun, exciting, non-stop action of the WWE, their forgotten division. So, without further ado, welcome to the no-fly zone. Alright, so what I'm going to be doing here is, I have been busy. I recorded an episode, I think it was like a month ago already, and wasn't happy with the recording. Had some kind of audio issues with it, so if you listen to it and it was unbearable, I apologize for that. I believe I have that sorted out. I invested in some new equipment since it appears that I'm going to be doing this on a regular basis, so I figured I might as well put some money into it. What we're going to be doing here today is I'm just going to briefly recap a couple episodes here, and then we'll dive in a little bit more with last week and this week. I believe the last episode I did was when I covered Enzo's debut, and a lot has happened since. So let's get into it here. The episode after Enzo debuted, we had the Jack Gallagher, Brian Kendrick, no DQ match. Wasn't a bad match. There was some brawling in the crowd. Gallagher controlled most of it. And then Kendrick got over on him. He bashed Gallagher's head into the steps, which I personally, they got me because I thought it was fake. And if it was fake, they still got me because I thought it was real. And I still don't know what to think. But Kendrick bashed Gallagher's head into the steps a few times. He started leaking a little bit. Rolled him into the ring. DDT'd him on a ring bell and then applied the captain's hook with a kendo stick and got the win there. So I guess that was real. I honestly thought it was a blood pack at first, but from everything I've heard since, it was a real hard way, I guess. I don't know, Gallagher had his hands taped, so I figured when I saw blood, maybe he did it, which was kind of crazy that they did it on 205 Live and they won't do it on any of the main shows or pay-per-views or anything at any point. So that's kind of where my skepticism came in. And also it just kind of like looked like it stopped bleeding pretty quick. It like dripped for a little bit, ref put the gloves on, and then they went home pretty quick after that. So I got worked. What can I say? After that, we had the Swan and TJ Perkins drama continue on. TJ's been milking a knee injury for the past few weeks here. And Rich Swann took on Daivari. Things broke down toward the end of the match. We found out that TJ's been faking it a little bit and used his crutch as a weapon against Daivari. And then afterwards, Swann handed him his crutch and kind of gave him the look like, all right. And TJ Perkins, I don't know, man. But next up, we had the never-ending rotation of six-man tags or tag matches involving Grand Metalik, Cedric Alexander, Tony Nese, Drew Gulak, except this week we had the pleasure of having Noam Dar and Enzo Amore mixed in. Enzo cheated to win. Feet on the ropes, and this would become a recurring theme here with Mr. Amore. Going to the next week, we had Nigel debut on commentary, Nigel McGuinness. I'm a pretty big fan of his. I like his commentary. He does pretty good work. So with Corey jumping over to SmackDown, pulling double duty there, they put Nigel on here along with NXT. Not going to be upset about that. We had TJP versus Daivari. And Swann commentated the match sitting on the announce table, just watched eating popcorn, sitting on top of the announce table. And TJP got the win there with a detonation kick. We were introduced to the glory that is the Drew Gulak PowerPoint, which is hands down, far and above, my favorite part of 205 Live right now. He reveals his... was supposed to be his first three PowerPoints out of, 400 or something. And, number one, we got no jumping off the top rope. It's a crucial one. We got no jumping off the middle rope, refer to number one. And then when he goes for three, the Kira Tozawa interrupts, and they have a match. Tozawa goes over with a senton. So we're going to have a little dust up with these two coming up here. And then we get the fatal five-way for the number one contendership for the Cruiserweight title. And Cedric Alexander added everyone to the hashtag lumbar checklist except for Enzo, who cheated once again to get that number one contendership. It was a pretty good match. It really was. If you haven't watched it, definitely go back and watch that. I highly recommend this. The sequence to the end was awesome until Enzo took the wind out of its sails with his chicanery. But yeah, Cedric Alexander lumbar checked everybody in a row, and it was awesome. It's probably one of my favorite finishers right now. Some of the guys, the way they sell it, I don't know if it's by choice, but yeah, some guys get a little bit of a bounce there, and it looks awesome. So unfortunately, Cedric's going to take a back seat here for a little while longer, but this guy needs to be 100% in the main event picture for the Cruiserweight title. I think he should be the next champion. That's my opinion. I believe I've stated that before. But I think he's the most talented guy on that roster right now. So, yeah. So we're going to go ahead and get a little more detailed here with the next two episodes. This is the 9-12 episode we're going to be going into now. We got TJP and Swan going back and forth here to start the match off. And a little bit of mat work here. Swan takes over with a flipping senton off the apron. We get some pretty stiff kicks. TJ takes over for a little bit, trying to wear Swan down with some rest holds. There's a weird spot in this match. I don't know exactly what happened. I watched it a couple times. I still don't know what the hell happened. It looked like this spot was later on in the match, and I think one of them thought it was at this point, because TJP went for just, I guess, regular, you know, like, back suplex, side suplex, whatever you want to call it, and Swan over-rotated and dropped him pretty much. It was pretty much like Nakamura and John Cena. I mean, he dropped him right on his head. And, you know, they wound up going back and doing the same thing like a couple minutes later. And Swan flipped out of it. And at this point, man, this crowd was just dead. This was right after the Mae Young Classic. People have been sitting there forever. We're hitting like, this would be the third hour of wrestling that we're hitting. Well, the fourth hour, actually. And yeah, they're pretty much lifeless. I'm convinced at this point that there's just cardboard cutouts in the crowd instead of actual human beings. They do like a double kick sequence. Both of them go down, counter each other's finishers. TJP locks on the knee bar, and you know, there's pretty much just a lot going on at the end here. And then Swan hits him with a couple big moves. TJ kicks out, and then Swan hits the Phoenix Splash for the 1-2-3. TJ kind of half-heartedly shakes Swan's hand in the end, gives him his due, but you can tell this might not be over. There's a little bit of hesitance there in it. So it looks like this isn't over yet. I don't think there's really anything for either of them right now, so you know, we'll get to that a little bit later. But anyway, next up, Brian Kendrick's in the back. He says that Cedric's generation are spineless. It's pretty much the message out of his promo there. He's a grumpy old man. And speaking of grumpy, we go into a not as grumpy old man, or grumpy not as old man. Drew Gulak comes out, bringing up his PowerPoint again. Once again, this is hilarious. Starts talking about chants, and every time the crowd starts doing the ah chants, it sounds like a bunch of birds. It's really obnoxious, but it's kind of funny. Tells the crowd we're getting the rest of the PowerPoint. Number three, finally, we're waiting for it, is no chance. And says that competitors should compete in silence, that no more chanting, crowd should be completely silent, which up until this point he was getting his wish, but generates a little heat in this segment here. This was an awesome part here. He with no elaborate ring gear, and they show Okada's Tekken character in full ring gear. It says he looks ridiculous, looks like a video game character, and he doesn't need all that stuff. He just needs some reliable boots and a good pair of trunks or something along those lines. And then we get number five, which is no interrupting. And as he goes into that, we get a pretty big surprise here on 205 Live. The Fashion Police come out and go on with the Captain Underpants thing. He is officially Captain Underpants. And this was so awkward. Fandango goes up and just starts rubbing his scruff all over Gulak's face. And I don't know how the hell neither of them started laughing. I would have been dead if that would have happened to me. I would have lost it completely. They start naming various underpants that they like. And then we get an arrest. The Fashion Police make an arrest on Drew Gulak. And Fandango makes the arrest. Breeze reads him his fashion rights. And Gulak takes off. So we have... he bumped them. So we have assaulting a police officer. We have resisting arrest. And now we have him trying to run away. So this is serious charges in fashion land. So I'm sure Gulak will be paying the price and spend some time in the clink here. And as he's running away, he gets tripped up and they drag him up the ramp. It's a ridiculous segment. I thought it was hilarious. I don't know. I know some people aren't the biggest fan of the Fashion Police, but this was great. And especially, you know, when you have the Mae Young final and then you run this right afterward, you know, that it's kind of tough to get everybody into it. And it seemed like the crowd kind of woke up a little bit during this, and they had every right to. This was hilarious. So, like I said, if you haven't watched this, definitely go back and watch this, man. I was dying watching this segment. So, next up we get Brian Kendrick versus Cedric Alexander. I keep wanting to call him Houston Alexander. If you've watched UFC in the mid-2000s, you know what I'm talking about. It's just there, so I'm going to try not to do it. I'm going to get it out right now so that I don't do it again. Alexander pretty much controls this thing, and Kendrick, he dominates the match. And Kendrick, with his old veteran tricks, he drops his neck. He drops Alexander's neck like across the holder that connects the buckle to the ring post. You know, he's on the outside, and then rolls him in, and Jack Gallagher comes out with an umbrella, I believe we're on William III, and backs Kendrick into a corner. You know, he's holding his hands up, don't hurt me, and then he turns and hits Cedric with the umbrella. We have a official Gentleman Jack heel turn here, beats the shit out of him with the umbrella, and shakes... He shakes Kendrick's hand here, and I'll tell you what, 205 Live is crushing it with the eye makeup. Gentleman Jack looks like he hasn't slept in about 3 weeks. They kind of did the same thing with Neville after he lost his title. They really make him look like they're distraught. I think some of the better character work going on right now is on 205 Live, and you can quote me on that, and you can dispute it, and that's fine, but I'm starting to become invested in these characters. As like I said on the last one, I was kind of on and off on all this for a while, but yeah, I'm on board right now. I'm really enjoying it. So yeah, it was fun. but yeah, it's just like with Neville, what he's become since he went down, and you know, with Jack Gallagher now, he you know, had the whole feud with Kendrick calling him, you know, a clown. And, you know, saying that he was goofy. Well, it looks like Gentleman Jack took that to heart. And he's coming out a little more cynical here. So we might have some kind of... we're definitely getting some kind of team up with these two here. Which may not bode well for the rest of the Cruiserweight division. There's definitely two dangerous guys there. And I'm definitely curious to see what Gallagher is going to be like here as a heel and, you know, what this means for Cedric Alexander. Because he's definitely getting put into a situation here with these two as Enzo takes the, you know, the title opportunity coming up here. So, once again, I'm hoping Cedric gets in this thing soon. I'm hoping he's wearing that strap soon. We can all hope. And, yeah, so that was the big moment here on this episode, other than the brilliant fashion police and PowerPoint segment. So far, let's just run this down real quick. We have like 380 slides left, and all we have so far is no jumping off the top rope, no jumping off the middle rope, no chanting, no elaborate ring gear, and no interrupting. So, I think we have like another year of this, because he only usually gets through a couple before he gets interrupted. So, yeah, Gulak's character works pretty fun here. And, yeah, we'll get into a little more of that here. So, recapping next, this is this week's episode, the 919 episode. And, we begin the show recapping what happened on Raw with, Braun Strowman demolishing Enzo, and, Neville comes out and cleans up the scraps a little bit here. I think it was last week, I believe, with Enzo getting beat up by the Miztourage. And Neville comes in the back and just stares at him and just starts laughing hysterically. I thought it was great. Neville's such a prick, and I love it. It's hilarious. Like, he has no respect for this guy at all. So this was a bit of an interesting episode here. And it really moved along some story here. And I'm curious to see what's going to happen here. So let's get into this thing. So we had that recap that I just spoke about. And we get Cedric Alexander and Brian Kendrick continuing their thing here to start it off. And Alexander starts strong, just like last week. Kendrick takes over a little bit on the outside. And Kendrick starts to wear him down. Alexander comes out, lands a couple rope, like, enziguris up against the ropes. Kind of hard to explain, where they hold the top rope and kick over. Hits the big clothesline and goes for the springboard. And Kendrick ducks under, hits him with a leg lariat, goes for the sliced bread. Alexander escapes. Kendrick goes for an O'Connor roll. Cedric counters it, bridges, gets the pin. As Cedric Alexander's walking up the ramp, Kendrick chases him up the ramp. They start going back and forth. Gallagher comes out from behind and attacks him. They start beating him down on the ramp. Gallagher gets interviewed backstage, and he is confronted with what is going on with him. And pretty much the moral of his interview here is, he says, you know, he got married and he had a 1-inch hole in his head, and he had to perform his nuptials with 4 stitches in his face. But he said he's glad. And he's glad he had those stitches in his head. And in life, you can be nice, or you can be a winner. And he can live with the scars, but not as a joke. So it looks like Brian Kendrick has spun somebody into his web here. He's been just kind of rampaging around 205 Live with all of his lessons. And they did not work with Akira Tozawa, but it looks like they're working with Jack Gallagher here. So I don't know if this is going to be where Kendrick's like the ringleader here, and Gallagher just kind of follows him around and, you know, works, you know, does Kendrick's bidding for him, or if this is going to be, we're getting Jack Gallagher the monster, who's just going to go off on his own and just kind of rampage here. But it seems like for right now, we're stuck with these two together, which is fine by me. Yeah, I mean, Gallagher has been, you know, the goofy, you know, guy that wears nice clothes. I mean, he did a street fight wearing a suit. So, you know, he definitely lives up to the gentleman moniker there. And, you know, the only difference was he had his hands taped, which I guess he's just doing now. His hands are always taped. But yeah, so we'll see where things go with these two. And I'm definitely curious. So it looks like, I don't know, Grand Metalik wasn't out there tonight to help his boy out. Him and Cedric have been partnering up, and he's been nowhere to be found. So maybe he's going to have to make a phone call here and find him and wherever he's at on Main Event, or no, nobody knows the Grand Metalik. He just comes out and runs around the ropes and does some flippy shit, and he disappears for a few more weeks. So now Cedric's going to have to pull something out here because he's going one-on-two against these guys right now. So next up, we have Drew Gulak comes out and to do commentary, and he grabs a mic and cuts a promo. And he says he will be speaking to his attorney about the time he spent in fashion jail. And his attorney is himself. So Drew Gulak is really, he can do it all. You know, he's excellent on PowerPoint. And he represents himself in court. So how can you be mad at this guy? He's brilliant. And he cuts a promo on Tozawa. And then we get back to the PowerPoint, which is, I don't know, man. I'm a big fan of this PowerPoint here. I want shirts. I want an actual, I don't know how you market this, but we had the list. Maybe they'll just send out like a CD-ROM, and you can pop it into your computer and you'll get the full PowerPoint. Probably pay about 15 to 20 bucks for that. So let's get on it, WWE Shop. But once again, we have some odd chants. So the birds are back. And on his PowerPoint, we get slide number 6 finally. And slide number 6 is no cell phones. He old mans it and says this generation needs to get off of their cell phones. And as he's saying this, the entire crowd is Bray Wyatting him and have their phones lit up facing him. So Tozawa comes out, and he's going against Noam Dar. And this is pretty much, Noam Dar controls it early. It's not a very long match, but Noam Dar controls early. And, you know, as expected, Tozawa finishes it off with a senton. And Gulak just stares him down afterward. So we're going to get these two going, which this should be, in my opinion, pretty interesting. It's, I just want to see Drew Gulak on a mic every week. I am, as you can tell, absolutely in love with Drew Gulak's character right now. I think it's hilarious. And it adds a fun dynamic to the show. But I just want to see this damn PowerPoint. I want to see the whole thing. God damn it, WWE Shop. Get on it. I want the whole thing. CD-ROM. And yeah, I'm excited. So TJ Perkins goes up to Rich Swann in the back to congratulate Swann. And Perkins starts angling for yet another match. This would be number 4 in their series. Swann says he's good. Perkins says they have great chemistry. They should just keep it going. And Swann's like, nah, man, I'm wrestling Dorado tonight. And, you know, Perkins isn't very happy with the answer here. So Swann goes out to the ring. He's waiting. Dorado's music hits. There's no Lince Dorado. And, you know, I can't believe they pulled him out of whatever land him and Grand Metal League are living in to have this happen to him. They cut to the back. He's laying on the ground. And Swan's like, okay, so he starts heading up the ramp to go see what happened. As he goes up the ramp, TJP jumps him, you know, just starts beating him down. And oddly enough, he rips one of his dreads out. This was confusing to me. This is not something that I would do to somebody. I don't know if this is a thing with them, if, you know, Swann has made it very specific to Perkins how much he loves his dreads. This isn't just something that I would do in a fight with somebody. I don't know why you rip a man's dreads out. It doesn't make any sense to me. Maybe we're angling for a hair versus, and I gotta think here. Let's do like a hair versus video game system match, because that's all I can think of that you could take from TJ Perkins that would mean anything. So they have all of TJ Perkins' game systems in like a bin next to the ring. And if Swann wins, he gets those. He can do whatever he wants with them. He can play them. He can sell them on eBay. He can donate them to charity. Or he can just smash them. But if he loses, then TJ Perkins gets to rip all of his dreads out. Maybe just shave his head. Ripping the dreads out is still very, very weird and suspect to me. I'm confused still about that situation. I don't know why it happened. Anyway, he's just holding it up and like waving it at him for some reason, and he's very proud of himself, and I don't know why. I think a beatdown would have sufficed here. I hope this doesn't turn into TJP jumping in random throughout the weeks and ripping out a dread at a time until we have, like, Mankind Rich Swan going around with, like, bald spots. Just pray that doesn't happen. But, yeah, so he gives him, like, a detonation barricade thing. He just drops him across the barricade and walks away, waving the dread still, strangely. Whatever, I don't know. This doesn't do a whole lot for me, to be totally honest. A lot of people were saying how good their match was last week. I don't know. I have to go back and watch it, because I don't know if it was like the crowd was bad or if I just wasn't into it. I just didn't really get into their match. And like I said, it could have just been the crowd. It probably was a pretty good match. Maybe I just need to watch it on mute. But it seemed a little sloppy. And that whole like spot with the back suplex and like where Swan over rotated or TJ over, I don't know what happened, but when he dropped him on his head, it just seemed like there was something like a little bit off. But I checked online and it seemed like everybody was really high on the match, so maybe I'll need to go back and watch it again. But I wasn't too big on it. Maybe I just don't care about this feud very much, and it's just gonna keep going. So I don't know. Hair versus video game match. Let's do it. That's maybe the only thing that get me interested at this point. Anyway, let's go to something a little more interesting. Sorry, it's late when I'm doing this. We have an Enzo and Neville face-off. Now, they will be going against each other this Sunday live on the WWE Network. And if you sign up now, you'll get a free month. And they'll be going added at No Mercy here. So Neville comes out first, and he's on the mic, and he pretty much hypes up all the other matches on the show and says that his match with Enzo will be a comedy match, and he's going to expose him. And Enzo comes out and starts saying some shit. Neville does the Enzo dance. His might be my second favorite to Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens was hilarious, but Neville is pretty goddamn funny too, if I must say. And he tells Enzo he's better than him in every way. And Enzo counters with all the people he hangs out with, all the merch deals he has, the commercials, so he's twice the superstar that Neville will ever be. And he gets booed. I think Enzo, people are souring a little bit on Enzo. At least the 205 Live crowd is, because he gets booed for saying this. And goes on about something about, I'm going to try to make some sense of this, Neville hates him because jealousy is love disguised as, I don't know what he was saying. There's love, hate, and jealousy all in the same sentence. They all get interwound with each other. And I don't get it. So anyway, he says this a couple times, and he can say it 1,000 times. I'll just put my headphones in, and he can repeat it to me in my sleep, and I still will not know what the fuck this guy is talking about. Which is mostly how I feel about Enzo. All the time. Neville replies, he says he doesn't care. He doesn't care about being a superstar. He doesn't care about merch. He doesn't care about celebrities. He doesn't care about hanging out with rappers. So he's going to make an example out of Enzo. So he's there to win. He's there to fight. He says Enzo can't fight. And the best that Enzo can hope for on Sunday is for his own survival. Enzo concedes a little bit, says he's right. He says his tactics that he's been using will not win him a title, with the cheating and the low blows and the trunk pulling and all that, which, I mean, the trunk pulling, I guess it could win him a title if the rest not looking, but anyway. No use poking holes now. And he says that that's not going to work on Sunday at No Mercy, but it doesn't matter now. And he kicks Neville square in the dick, and he gets a chorus of boos for this. So, as I said earlier, it seems like this crowd may be souring on Enzo. And I did not watch Raw this week, I didn't get to that part yet. But I don't know what the reaction was for him on Raw. But it does not seem like 205 is really big on him. And it seems like they keep trying to keep Enzo as a face here. But he continuously does heel things, which I guess is his character. But he's always like the bigger heel in these feuds. it seems like. Like, with Cass. Like, yeah, Cass turned on him. But Cass turned on him because Enzo's a dick. And, he was kind of a dick during the feud, too. And, you know, with this, he kicked the man right in the balls. Unprovoked. I mean, they were just having a nice verbal spat. Roman Reigns then kicked John Cena in the balls. You know, John Cena didn't kick Roman Reigns in the balls. They just keep doing their, you know, Reddit thread promos back to each other. But, yeah, so he just, in like with Rusev, yeah, he was the heel there. He was trying to, you know, get on the man's wife. I would be mad. I'd bore him to a hotel room and beat him up too if I was in kayfabe WWE land. So I do not fault anybody when they go after Enzo Amore, because this all seems provoked by him. And, he came to 205 Live and he, you know, hasn't showed a whole lot. He's been winning, but it's been under shady circumstances. So I guess we'll get into Sunday here. I'm just going to be blunt about this. Enzo better not win this title. And here's why. Because if they're trying to build him up like he is an underdog babyface right now, it is not working. And in my opinion, it's making the division look like shit. He has been up mingling with the main roster. He got his ass kicked by the Miztourage, once again, for being a dick. And then he gets beat up by Braun Strowman, and, well, who knows? You know, maybe something happened in the back. I'm giving Braun a pass on that one. Also, if Braun's pissed, you get the fuck out of the way. I mean, we all know what happened. Kalisto is still in a dumpster. He's never getting out of it unless Braun allows him to, and then once he's done, he throws him back in. So, Enzo, he just better not win. And I get the whole thing, but I don't know how this experiment's going. In my opinion, it's already stale. It was like, you keep having the guy cheat to win, and it's obvious that he is being portrayed as that he is not a good wrestler. And you're going to have him go up against Neville, who is, I mean, I would say him and Cedric are probably 1-2. Maybe throw Tozawa in there right now. But as far as, like, overall in-ring charisma, because Tozawa is very charismatic. He's the only one that's got a chant over on the show. And as far as all-around performers, they would be my top three right now. There's some other guys floating around out there. I think Tony Nese is very good as well. Gulak's very good. Dorado's fantastic in the ring. Mehmet Ali's fantastic in the ring, but neither of them, you know, they don't talk or anything, and they're never on TV, so it's kind of hard to judge them as an overall product right now. But, like, my top three right now is Neville and Cedric, to me, are 1A and 1B, in whichever order you choose. They're both fantastic. Neville's promo tonight was awesome. The dude is, he's just, like, scathing when he talks at this point. It's, like, the contempt he shows for people is fantastic. And right now he's at the top of his game, and I we need to get this. I think they're just pushing it off for a little bit and building up Alexander, because his rampage in the Fatal 5-Way was not for no reason. He's definitely going to be in that picture, and I'm hoping it's soon. But we you know, we're gonna get some other stuff going on here for a little bit. I don't know if this Enzo Neville thing goes on any longer than Sunday. I don't know what is going on with Enzo, because, you know, right now we're looking at, if he somehow wins this title on Sunday, there's no way he can hold this thing for a while, and it is believable. And I think it'd be a little bizarre to take it off of Neville twice in such quick succession. I still don't like that Tozawa win over him. I think if you're just going to have him keep it in the end anyway, just let him keep it. Or, you know, give Tozawa a little bit of a run, not just a few days. But, yeah, I just don't see this as being particularly interesting. And by the crowd reaction at night, I don't think it has any real longevity here. Enzo on his own just isn't, it's not very good, to be totally honest. In my opinion, of course. But, you know, we talked about this on Red Zone. Anybody listening to this listens to that, as we kind of went over, like, you know, Enzo and Cass breaking up and how it just, I don't think it was the right call for either of them at this point. You know, you definitely could have gotten some longevity out of that. And Cass was kind of, you know, I don't know if he was really, you know, the whole Big Show thing, but I don't think he's really over. Seems to me like he was kind of floundering, like they were trying to build him up, but I don't think the time is now, because he is not a main event guy right now, and that main event picture is, I mean, it could be argued 8 to 10 deep at this point with the guys that they have on Raw. I mean, there's a lot of guys you can interject into that main event picture, and it's their main eventers. And he is not in that group to me. So, with Enzo, I mean, we're going to have this match, and I don't know what we're going to get. I don't know if this is even going to be on the main show, but, you know, it has not been built up like, I mean, that's obviously the goal of it, is Enzo's not being built up like he's going to win it, but I don't think this underdog babyface thing is working either. And, yeah, so I guess we'll see. But, yeah, we didn't get any Tony Nese tonight, which was a little disappointing. It's always good to see his abs on television. And, you know, Metalik was not in either, so that's always sad. I like to see him run around on the ropes, and him and Cedric do some flippy things together. I really think those two could work as a tag team. I think they'd be very exciting. They're kind of a weird dynamic between the two. And, it could definitely do without Enzo calling him. I don't remember what the hell he was calling him, but he was saying some weird shit about him being Mexican and something about cheese or something. I don't know. Like I said, I kind of tune Enzo out to try to sit there and take notes on his promos, as my brain will start smoking and possibly catch on fire. So I just kind of try to cliff note it. But I think that is going to be it for this week. I am going to try to do this every week. Like I said, I have been so busy lately. I do not have time to sit down and do this. This is late, and the only reason I'm really sitting down to do it this late is because there's 4 episodes here, and I needed to get something done if I want to keep this thing going. So, you know, we'll see where it goes from here. And anybody listening, I hope you enjoyed this. I hope the sound quality is better, first and foremost. But this has been the No Fly Zone. I am your host, Adam Dribblebiss, at AJDREIB13 on Twitter. And you can catch me on the Red Zone. I have a couple other things that I am kind of working on here, just time permitting. But if anybody watches Progress, that is going to come one day. I'm going to do a Progress podcast. And hopefully sooner than later, I got a couple ready to go. So if you watch that, if you enjoy it, just stay tuned for that. And, once again, this is officially named the No Fly Zone. And that is it for this week. Peace. So